Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, and we ask that you answer our prayer and that you lead us to grow closer to you, that all we do may glorify your name. As you call us in your word to make everything we do a prayer in worship to you, and let us do that. Give us the grace to be able to glorify you and worship you in all we do. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, it is Tuesday of the ninth week of Ordinary Time, and of course, Ordinary Time continues until around Thanksgiving, which is always, it's my favorite season because of the fact that it is the longest, so you know what's coming each and every day. Interesting story came out of Christianity Today that's interesting to look at, and that is the story of Eliot Mazar, the death of Eliot Mazar. The title of the article is Archaeologist Who Believed the Bible. Now, something you need to know about biblical archaeology, and that is that biblical archaeology is obviously the study of archaeology from biblical times and the biblical stories, but there are actually several schools of it, and one of them is to understand the Bible and to use the Bible as a guide, and another one is to ignore the Bible and to seek the results from your archaeological digs on your own. And it's in two different schools. So one school says we follow what the Bible says so that we, when we dig, it gives us a better guide to find out what's going on. And the other school says, no, we reject the Bible as a guide. It's not scientific, it's just kind of a scientific method saying we're not going to use the Bible as a source. And as it says here, Eliot Mazar actually was one who, although described as a non-religious archaeologist in the article, was one who chose to use the Bible. Interesting thing, I'm not sure what battle it was, but there was a battle in World War II in the Middle East. Obviously, that was before Israel existed again. The Middle East, where the general, who was British, followed, I forget where it happened, it was a biblical story, and followed the topography cited in the Bible and found out it was accurate and was able to win the battle that way. So there are those two schools. Do we follow what the Bible says when we're doing our research on the Bible, or do we research separately? And both of them are acceptable schools. There's, you know, what exists, exists. What doesn't, doesn't. You can't change that reality. So, for example, as you may have heard in my homily on Sunday, science and faith have to work together. So people are afraid that science will disprove faith. Either God exists or he doesn't. You can't change that. And of course, we believe that God exists. So can science disprove God? No, because God exists or he doesn't. We believe that God exists. Is science going to disprove God for us? No. And if you've heard some of my homilies, you will recognize that I say that if anything, science disproves atheism, especially evolution. And a lot of people are afraid of that word. But if you really look at what evolution says, you cannot be an atheist and believe in evolution. And the reason is because in order to be an atheist, you have to say that you see all of reality and you didn't see God, therefore God doesn't exist. But in order to believe you can see all of reality, you cannot believe in evolution, because by default, evolution says there is more out there, but you haven't reached the stage in existence to find it. And that's true. So that's an important thing. So in this particular story, it cites the fact that she used the Bible as part of her research. And I say it as others don't. But it's important when we understand that. And we understand that when people are doing their research and they're doing these archaeological digs, which I've, even though I've studied biblical archaeology, not to a major, I took a course, wonderful course, at Harvard Divinity School. But even though I've studied biblical archaeology on a rudimentary rudimentary level, where I probably studied English on a rudimentary level. There we go. You will find that there are these digs, and they seek what they're looking for in them, these new discoveries and everything else. One of the most fascinating things that I discovered in archaeology, and any archaeologist will tell you, is, say, for example, you're walking in the woods, and I've experienced this down at, Wampatuck State Park down in Hingham, which I have to admit, I have not been there since the Lyme disease things seemed to get worse. I think the last time I was there, I found a tick on my pants. And I went, oh, okay, that's enough of that. And I used to go there all the time. And I shouldn't worry about that stuff, but what the heck, I do. So, but anyways, Wampatuck State Park, and in the middle of the forest, the woods there, you see this wall. It's just very simply a stone wall. It's not going to really strike you in any way. It's going to see the stone wall. Well, that stone wall could have been built 300, 400 years ago, or close to 500 years ago, actually. I'm not sure when it was, but it could be, and that would be a remnant of that particular time, even though you look at it and say, well, that's just a stone wall in the middle of nowhere. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WEZE 590 AM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. We'll be right back. Have you ever wanted to read the Bible but didn't know which readings to check out? Well, how about looking at the Church's daily readings? You can find them at the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Just go to bible.usccb.org and click on the date that pops up on that page. There are other options on that page as well. That is bible.usccb.org, and click on the date and you will see the daily readings for your own prayer and study of the Bible. This is a prayerful tip from St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. We now have a regular poll question for you to give your input in current issues affecting the Church. This week we ask, should the U.S. bishops call for priests to deny President Joe Biden the Eucharist? You can answer our poll at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Let us know what you think, and we will give the results next week. And, of course, CatholicAudioMedia.com is the website for not only the radio show, but you can also find the parish through there. And, of course, our parish is St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. So check that out, CatholicAudioMedia.com. So anyway, we're talking about that understanding from a scientific perspective of using the Bible for research or not using the Bible. And there are some people that will have nothing to do with the Bible whatsoever. And, you know, thinking of that, well, I've never read the Quran. I've never read the Bhagavad Gita. I've never read any of those scriptures. So, you know, if I didn't believe in Jesus as my Savior, maybe I wouldn't, in fact, read any of those, read the Bible. However, it is a historic document as well, and there are things that you can find there that are important for us to understand us as a human race, which is why they are there. One of the great criticisms of the Bible is the violence in it, and they turn around and they say there is great violence there. There is. You know, we all know about Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But you need to look at the deeper understanding of what is that all about. And it really is about that if evil is not stopped, it is like a virus or like a bad apple that'll just destroy everything. And that's actually the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's all this question as to what is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. In reality, it's irrelevant. And I say, well, why? You know, there are these sinners. It's irrelevant. What is relevant is that this evil had grown to the point that there were no righteous people in the city. How do we know that? Because there was the argument between God and Abraham. And Abraham said, if working God down, bargaining with him all the way down to 10 people, if there were so much as 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you destroy the city? No. So there were no righteous people. That means everyone was in it for themselves. And so these two societies were destroying each other. And at the same time, if you read the study carefully, if you study the reading carefully, their evil was overflowing into the other cities, and the other cities were saying, look, if they want to be evil, that's their business, but they're spreading their evil over here, and we are not going to tolerate it. If you look carefully at that story of Sodom and Gomorrah, so the issue is not so much what the sin is, because you know what? There are people that are trying to define the sin, or they're saying the sin is one thing, or they're saying it's another. The reason why it's irrelevant is because if you turn around and say it is because of this particular sin it happened, then you're going to focus on people who commit the sin and not focus on the real power of the story, who were the righteous people. And we're all called to be righteous, all of us, and we're called to lead people to be righteous. You probably heard the program yesterday where we talked about that powerful reality of Romans 12, which gave that instruction of how to live our faith as people of faith, and how to live our faith, and how I pointed out that you could make all those instructions part of your political platform, and for the most part, they wouldn't contradict anything you stood for, because they're all things that those things will build a powerful society, and we're called to do that as we grow closer to walking in our walk towards the kingdom of God, which is to live in a just society for all eternity. So you can see that powerful truth that is there. And the whole point is that it's a call for us to be righteous. We'll talk more tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day, and we'll see you at midnight and 3 in the morning. Did you know that you can listen to Catholic Audio Media on the iHeartRadio app? Catholic Audio Media is now available through your iHeartRadio app. If you don't have the app, download it to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, and subscribe through the podcast tab to Catholic Audio Media. You'll be able to hear both St. Anthony Overnight and The Voice of St. Anthony, both programs through the app. You can also enable them through your smart speaker and hear them through the smart speaker as well. Just ask for Catholic Audio Media Podcast from iHeartRadio. You can hear them anywhere. You can listen to them as you're jogging. You can listen to them as you're preparing to go to bed. You can listen to them as you're eating and having breakfast or lunch or dinner. You can hear them anytime you want at iHeartRadio through the iHeartRadio app. In Cristo vivimos.